Good afternoon, fellow Patriots and Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea broadcasting once again from the front lines in the battle for freedom and liberty, Olympia, Washington. Brought to you once again by the committed to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And there's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, living our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church while still preaching the gospel of salvation and making disciples and teaching people how to obey his commands and showing tangible love to our neighbors in every area of life. That includes politics, by the way. Once again, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. What a wonderful admonishment and reminder for all of us that we need to keep centered in his word and also centered in his presence. And this is critical. If we're not communing with God, we don't get his revelations through the word or through other things in life. We don't get that. If we're not praying, if we're not fasting, if we're not doing communion, if we're not praying regularly every day, if we're not just spending time and worship in his presence, then we're missing out on the real relationship with the Lord. And I was talking with a friend of mine last night, and he was saying, you know, he's had the most fun with God than he ever had in his previous life when he was living in sin. And I thought about it, and I was like, that's absolutely right. I mean, the Lord has taken me around the world. He's taken me to different places and had me meet so many wonderful people, and it has been fun. Far more than what I was doing before. Caught in despair and depression and all this other garbage. Now, living a life and living a life abundantly in God. That's what he wants for us. And we have access to his entire storehouse in heaven if we ask. If we ask. That's so important. And to me, and I hope to all of you, that is an encouragement to just get out, commune with God, and live beyond the four walls of the church and do it with joy. And I meet a lot of people who are walking around and it's like they're carrying a 20-ton bag of bricks on their back. Oh, I'm a Christian, you know, and they look like they're beat down. And no, you know, people today, you know, with all the things that are going on right now in the media and everything against yours truly, some people come up and say, "Ah, you know, I'm so sorry." And no, I'm not sorry. Victoria is not sorry that we're experiencing this stuff. Luke 21 says that these things are an opportunity for our testimony. And it's a testimony before leaders. And if you think about it, Paul was persecuted. And then he had the opportunity to preach the gospel all the way up to Caesar. Jesus was crucified. But he also testified before the religious leaders of the day and the political leaders in that area of the day. But if he hadn't been persecuted, he would not have had that opportunity for testimony. So Luke 21 is really speaking to me. I hope it speaks to you today. And this idea that Christians are not persecuted in America is so absurd. You know, there's just case after case after case. And, you know, Brother Yoon also weighed in on this fact. He was a Chinese church leader who was imprisoned and tortured 10 years. And he said, look, the persecution in the West just takes a different form, and it's the words. And he actually adds the words of fellow Christians, the words of brothers. But it's no different than the persecution that he underwent. Those were his words, and I agree with it. We just need to recognize that when our reputations are being assailed for the name of Christ, our businesses are being assailed for the name of Christ, that we are going to stand and say, you know what? This is an opportunity for our testimony, and we're going to embrace that time. We're going to embrace it. A quick update today, too, about the vote that we took last night, House Bill 1110. It's a low-carbon fuel standard. Now, in Washington State, it's fascinating that we are ignoring the greatest emitter of pollution, which is catastrophic wildfires. In a lot of the discussions that we're having, the greatest thing we could do is to reduce the smoke load in our air every year is to manage our forests better. It is. 9 million tons is what is emitted from catastrophic wildfires every year on an average. And, interestingly, that's 9% of the total emissions. And yet they want to do a low-carbon fuel standard, which is going to increase, in some cases, in some estimates, up to 30 cents per gallon of a gasoline. They're going to add that on top of one of the highest fuel taxes in the nation. And then they want to, what, add a vehicle miles traveled tax on top of that? It's going to increase the cost of everything when you have the increased cost of transportation, number one. Number two, this is a tax on rural Washington. And quite literally, lighting the economy of rural Washington on fire and watching it go up in smoke. It's my pleasure also to remind everybody today, in case you didn't know, this is the 350th episode of Patriot Radio. All right, and my guest today, as a result of that, the 350th episode, I hope you're all happy. My guest today is Trevor Loudon. He's an author of White House Reds. That's his new book. We'll talk about that today on the show. And he's a filmmaker, The Enemies Within, an expert on Marxism and terrorism. And he's been on the show before educating on what's really happening in the infiltration of Marxism in America. Trevor, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Oh, look, it's great to be on, Matt. Thanks for having me.
So what is happening in the White House? Let's start there. And how does this connect to the deep state?
Well, look, basically, since Trump got elected, before Trump got elected, the deep state, which in my view is mainly Marxist, set about trying to destroy him, discredit him, and make him just a bump on the road, you know, just an unwelcome blip. And so the whole impeachment thing is really about, look, if they could remove him, they would, but they don't have enough case for that. So it's really about dragging things out, discrediting him, tying him up, you know, just causing a maximum amount of friction and, you know, driving people to despair, basically. That's what it's about. So we got to get this thing over and done with as quickly as possible and get back on target to winning 2020. That's my view.
Well, do you think they're going to just stop here? I mean, don't you think they're going to continue to do this? And we're starting to see this now, not just with President Trump, but Congressman Steve King, starting to see this also at the state level. Where is this going to be headed in 2020?
Well, look, this is a war. This is the civil war in America. What we're seeing is an attempted Marxist takeover. Trump is the Democrats and the left and the deep state are the revolution. And Trump and his supporters are the counter-revolution. And the 2020 election is pretty much going to decide who comes out on top, at least for now. So the left, the deep state, are going to throw everything they can at conservatives, patriots, anybody who stands in their way. This is going to get pretty ugly between now and the election. I don't think we've seen anything yet. So we got to brace for that. We got to understand it. We got to win 2020, and when we do, we got to start cracking down on these traitors who have heavily infiltrated the system.
Now, a lot of people have said to me, you know, Matt, you've exposed Marxists, but you know, they start coming after you when you expose them. I don't want to be a part of that. And there really is that fear, that self censorship. How do you answer that? And then also, who are the Marxists that we need to be watching?
Well, look, you know, people say, "Gee, standing up to these people—that's dangerous." Well, yeah, it is. But the only thing more dangerous is not standing up to them, because they are going to win and they are going to come after their enemies. They're going to suppress the Christian churches. They're going to suppress business. They're going to suppress any of complete power. So either you stand up now with some risk or you let them win with complete risk, with complete, you know, it's all over. So, you know, who wants to be the richest man in the country, you know? So, That's what we got to do. And the Marxists are, like, Diana West wrote a great book called The Red Threat. And she pointed out the communist backgrounds of people like James Comey, of John Brennan, the head of the CIA, and several other people in the anti-Trump movement. They are Marxists. That's what they are. But you also have a heavy Marxist infiltration of the Democratic caucus. You know, I said in my movie Enemies Within It that about 100 members of the Democratic caucus and about 25 members of the U.S. Senate are so enmeshed in neo-communism, Muslim Brotherhood front groups, working with the Iranians or the Cubans or the Chinese. They couldn't pass an FBI background check to drive a school bus. But guess what? There are no background checks in Congress or the Senate. There's no scrutiny whatsoever. So we, you know, Donald Trump Jr. said in earlier this year, he said the 2020 election will be communism versus freedom. And he was not exaggerating. That is what it is.
You know, it's interesting, speaking with folks in the Slavic community up in Spokane, Washington, they're sharing that exact same sentiment. They're seeing what's happening here in the United States. They're getting mobilized. They're getting out, getting people registered to vote. They're getting out into the community and getting involved. That's what we need to be doing across America. And yeah. we need to be exposing this threat.
Yeah, we do. We've got to stand up. You know, this is our civil war. This is our American Revolution. This is the deciding moment of our time. You know, look, people just do a little bit of math. You know, people think, well, if we lose the next election, we'll just come back and win another one later on. It's going to be okay. No, it's not. You know, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, says there are 22 million illegal immigrants in this country right now. Some people put that more like 40 million. But even if it's 22. Now, Hillary Clinton promised that if she won the election, she was going to legalize every single one of them and give them citizenship and voting rights within 100 days of taking office. Now, if they were all given citizenship and voting rights, what proportion of them do you think would vote Democrat, Matt?
Exactly, right? I mean, this is what it's about.
That's number. So say it was only 80%. It was probably more like 95%. But say it's 80%. That's 16 or 17 million new Democrats overnight. You would immediately lose Texas, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Florida. That would be it. The Democrats would have had a one-party state forever. That's it. We come within an inch of losing this country forever in 2016. And if the Democrats win 2020, we're back to that. So we got to understand this is the defining election of our lifetimes. You know, re-electing Trump doesn't guarantee our freedom. It gives us a fighting chance. But losing guarantees that we will lose our freedom.
And they will become continually more open about the fact that they really aren't Democrats. They really are not about America. They're about rewriting the Constitution and completely destroying our republic.
Yeah, look, these are the people who are leading the Democratic Party now who marched for the Viet Cong during the 60s. They supported Castro. They supported the Nicaraguan Sandinistas. And now they're running the Democratic Party, they're running the unions, they're running Hollywood, they're running the media, and they want their revolution before they die. And this is their last shot. This is their last chance. That's why they're throwing everything at this. You know, people who watch the Kavanaugh hearings, you're watching the impeachment of President Trump. These are not the Democratic Party. This is not the Democratic Party of Harry Truman or JFK. These are full-on Marxists now. You know, Harry Truman wouldn't be allowed in today's Democratic Party. Harry Truman would probably be in the Tea Party today, you know, if he was around. And same with JFK. So all those good, loyal Democrats out there who love their country, who believe in this country, need to understand that their party has been hijacked by full-on Marxists. You know, my new book that's coming out in March, White House Red, I profiled 10 Democratic candidates. All of them have Marxist backgrounds, including Joe Biden, including Amy Klobuchar, including Pete Buttigieg, let alone Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. All of them are Marxists.
And how deep do these roots go? Because a lot of folks will say, oh, just because somebody's associated, you can't really do that, even though they try to do that to us. You can't really do that. And these folks may have, you know, talked to Marxists, but they talk to everybody. It's not really that big a deal. How do you specifically answer that?
Well, this is not about somebody having a photo op with a Marxist or talking to someone. This is about people being elected by Marxist cabals, working with them over a period of several years, appointing their people to their staffs, getting money from them to win elections, and following their policy agenda. But for instance, Joe Biden was elected by a group called the Council for a Livable World back in 1972. He was a city councillor in Delaware, a 29-year-old city councillor who took out a four-term incumbent senator with an 80% popularity rating. He was given that money by the Council for a Livable World, which was set up by a Soviet agent called Leo Szilard. The money was orchestrated by Albert Gore Sr., the protege of another Soviet agent, Armand Hammer, and they got Joe Biden elected on the promise that he would work to gut the U.S. military to the advantage of Moscow. That's what they did it for. And he has openly worked to gut the U.S. military ever since. You know, a few years ago, he at their 50th anniversary celebration, I've got him on tape saying I owe everything to the Council for a Livable World. They worked with me for 50 years. They helped me and Obama negotiate the SALT Treaty with the Russians, which was hugely disadvantageous to this country. But, you know, I can go a lot more about Joe Biden, but this is the same pattern with Amy Klobuchar, the same with Pete Buttigieg. You know, his father was one of the top Marxist scholars in the country. He's worked heavily with Democratic Socialists of America, a deeply Marxist group, through his entire political career. He's still backing their strikes up till a month ago. So I've got the evidence there. It's there if you look for it.
It is there if you look for it. And for those that are beginning to expose it, all of a sudden, now you're the anti-American domestic terrorist, you know, Trevor. You know. How do you respond to those kind of absurd accusations that they're trying to throw back? Because this follows a Marxist pattern of smearing, yeah, and then trying to get it into the media and get it substantiated by the media.
Yeah, look. Lenin said, you know, we have to promote hate against those who oppose us. We have to denigrate them, slander them. And you've seen this with President Trump. You saw this with Kavanaugh. You saw this. You saw it with your case, Matt. You know, you're a constitutional conservative. You believe in what this country was founded on, and you backed other people who were trying to promote those values. And the left came after you and slandered you. They do that to anybody who's a serious threat to them. You know, I call it the smear test. You know, if you haven't been smeared, you're not doing the right stuff. But, you know, we both believe in the Constitution. We both believe in the founding documents of this country. We both believe in liberty. We both believe in a strong national defense and a good education system and all of that and the pro-business environment, all the things that made America great. And this is now anti-American. Well, if this is anti-American, what does that say about the values of the people who smear us? These are socialists. These are communists. They hate what America stands for, and so they will smear us. So I'm proud to wear that badge. They come after me, that's great, but they will not beat me on a point of argument. They will not beat me on a point of fact, because I stand by what my research tells. And I'm willing to stand up for this country. And as I said before, it's dangerous, it carries its risks, but it's not nearly as dangerous as not doing it.
That's absolutely right. And we have to wear that as a badge of honor when we get attacked like that. And what they're trying to do is to get people to self-censor and be afraid, like we talked about earlier in this show, and then go away.
Yeah, they're trying to get you to, oh, no, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to donate to his campaign. He's a bit toxic. Now, this is what they've done to Steve King out in Iowa. You know, one of the finest patriots in Congress. You know, the New York Times does a hit job on him, you know, misquotes him deliberately, and a whole bunch of the Republicans back off him and remove him from his, you know, committee responsibilities. You know, one of the finest patriots in Congress. Well, we got to stand up. We got to back our heroes. We got to back our people who are under the gun, because if they can, we allow them to do it to our heroes, they're going to be coming after us soon. It's just a matter of they're going to pick us all off. And you know, this is the time for patriots to stand up. This is our American Revolution. This is our Civil War, and it ain't a shooting one. And hopefully, it never ever gets to that. But we can still win this in the ballot box because we have a champion in the president who actually believes in our values. And we haven't had that opportunity for a very long time, and we cannot afford to squander it.
I completely agree with you. And I want to address this idea, too, that's out there that, you know, with the fall of the former Soviet Union, we have nothing to worry about. There really aren't Marxist agents anymore. You know, Putin doesn't care. You know, those kind of ideas, how do you counter those today? Because, you know, people say, well, there is no more KGB, so you really don't have an argument anymore.
Well, the KGB is stronger than it ever has been. You know, look, Putin keynoted a communist gathering in Sochi, Russia in October 2017 to mark the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. This was an international communist youth festival. I had 30,000 kids there, and Putin told them the future was theirs. But, you know, if you say there's no communism in this country, what is Black Lives Matter? What is the Me Too movement? What is the Women's March? What were the Dakota Access Pipeline protests? All of those were communist operations. Black Lives Matter is a completely communist operation. So I liken it to this. If you imagine communism as a tumor in your body, a cancerous tumor, the Soviet Union was a tumor on the world. So you cut 90% of it. You've got a cancer in your body, and you cut 90% out of it, 90% of that tumor out, but you leave 10% in. And then you stop all treatment for the next 5 years. What's your body going to look like?
Not very good.
That's where we are now. It's metastasized. Every college campus virtually in this country is run by Marxists. Many of your churches are run by Marxists. Hollywood is run by Marxists. The deep state is run by Marxists. The Women's March, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, these are all Marxist movements. The Democratic Party now, their policies are identical to those of the Communist Party and Democratic Socialists of America. Marxism has never been stronger in this country because we beat it back in the 80s and then we stopped all treatment. We just forgot about it. Well, you know, if you got a whole bunch of rats in your barn and you poison them and you kill 90% of them, and then you forget about it for 5 years, what's your barn going to look like?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I want to talk about the churches, too. Let's talk about that quickly.
Yeah.
I've seen attacks coming from inside the church where admonished as Christians to look at the fruit, and we're seeing now church leaders, evangelicals, that are starting to attack what I would consider the basic values, Judeo-Christian values of America, which is just, it's kind of stunning, actually, but it shouldn't be. Talk about the infiltration of the churches.
Well, look, you know, the enemies of America knew very early on that you could never take America from the outside. And what is the bedrock of America? The bedrock of America is Christianity. So the actual communists, under Soviet instruction, heavily infiltrated the mainstream Protestant churches starting in the early 20th century. They affiliated them with the World Council of Churches, which was run by the Soviet KGB. And so many of these mainstream churches went far left, and they were basically the Communist Party at prayer. So that was one aspect. Then the Catholic Church, which was very hard to infiltrate because it was so anti-communist, but they invented liberation theology, and which was Catholicism, which was Marxism with a Catholic veneer, And they've got it to the point now where they have a Marxist pope, and he is filling the College of Cardinals with Marxists so that he can guarantee the next Marxist pope. But the area that has been relatively pure right up till recently were the evangelicals and the Baptists. They were Bible-believing, they are straight-up Christians who tended to vote very conservatively. These were the people who voted for Reagan. These were the people who elected Donald Trump. So do you think the left was a little bit annoyed with the evangelicals and the Baptists?
Absolutely.
So they have made a very concerted program working through a group called the Gospel Coalition, set up by Tim Keller, very well-known Christian, who is, in his own words, a devotee of the Frankfurt School, a Marxist school that fled Nazi Germany and set up at Columbia University in the 30s. The people who gave us political correctness, basically, and the sexual revolution of the 60s. This Gospel Coalition has infiltrated their people into the leadership and major seminaries all over this country. And they have had heavily influenced through people like Russell Moore into the Southern Baptists. Now, the Southern Baptists have adopted critical race theory at their recent convention in Alabama, which is pure 100% Marxism, comes out of James Cone, who went to Cuba to meet Castro in 1982 with a man called Jeremiah Wright. You might have heard of him, Obama's old pastor. So you've got a massive infiltration of social justice, critical race theory, ending white privilege, supporting illegal immigration amnesty. This is becoming the dominant strain now inside many evangelical and Baptist churches. And if we lose the evangelical movement and the Baptists, you can kiss America goodbye, because politics is downstream from culture and culture is downstream from religion. If the religion goes Marxist, the culture will go completely Marxist. And so will the politics. So the left have made a major effort to infiltrate the evangelical and Baptist churches. And that is bearing fruit right now. And that's why I'm doing a movie that will be coming out later on this year called Enemies Within the Church. I urge people to go online, look at enemieswithinthechurch.com. You can see a trailer. You can donate to the movie. We need to get out this out there, because American Christianity will be completely unrecognizable in 5 years if we don't.
I have seen this happening. A lot of folks really have tried to poo-poo it in Ukraine, and I have friends, my wife is from Ukraine. They talked about in 1963 where the Baptist Church had to make a decision and split, so that there was a confessing church and then there was the state church, which was run by the KGB.
Right.
We are literally approaching that time where Americans are going to have to choose the confessing church versus what is essentially becoming the state church.
That's exactly right. And I'm very pleased to see the growth of the home church movement. And so, and many churches are disaffiliating from the Southern Baptist Convention, and we're seeing a new confessing church coming up. But we still have to confront head on what's happening in the evangelical churches and the Baptist churches, because, you know, I'll give you a little example. We've got in our movie, we've got a scene, a woman, there's an evangelical conference in 2015 in St. Louis, Missouri. And these young kids are teenagers, they're mostly white because it's the Midwest. And they're spoken to by a woman called Michelle Higgins. And she tells them that the thing God wants them to do more than anything else is to end white privilege. She goes on about this. And these young evangelicals, they're fired up because they want to end white privilege because this is what God wants them to do. Well, Michelle Higgins is a member of the Organization for Black Struggle, which is the front for the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the pro-Chinese Communist Party that gave us Black Lives Matter. So you got young evangelicals being taught straight Marxism, thinking it's Christianity. And this is going on all over, organizations like Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU, used to be a straight-up, very respectable organization, is now going completely left-wing. You've got this in the World Vision, which was once a respectable Christian charity, is now left-wing. This is a very rapidly evolving movement, and Christians need to wake up to it really, really fast. There's no point listening to an interview like this on a Thursday morning and going to a communist church on Sunday. It ain't going to do you much good.
And that is extremely well said. And you actually are coming to Washington State here in April. I look forward to seeing you when you come here to Washington State. And are you going to be talking about these issues then as well?
Yeah, look, I am. I'm going to be talking about the 2020 election. I'm going to be talking about the churches. I've got about 5 or 6 gigs right across Washington into Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I believe, that we're going to do one there. And I'm looking forward to it because I know when you get out of Seattle, Washington is full of patriots, full of people who just love this country. And I'm fired up to get amongst you and looking forward to seeing you, Matt.
Well, we're fired up to have you. I'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the jihadi infiltration in America and how that is actually really dovetailing into the Marxist movement, and the Marxist movement is dovetailing into the jihadi movement. If you can describe the red-green axis for us.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy. A lot of people think, well, why would, you know, sort of theist Muslims have anything to do with atheist communists? Well, they have a lot in common. They're both totalitarian systems. They both hate Christianity. They both hate Judaism. And they want complete power. So they will work together. It's like, you know, one mafia gang will work with another mafia gang. You know, they might have a falling out later when, you know, but right now they're united. Their goal is to destroy America because America is standing in the way of global communism and America is standing in the way of the global caliphate. If they can work together to take America out, they can fight each other over our corpses later. But right now they're unified. So that's why the left is enabling, mass Muslim refugee resettlement, for instance. That's why the left has basically allowed the mass Muslim migration into Europe. They have a common enemy, which is basically, you know, Christianity and liberty. And if they can work together to destroy them, they will. You know, like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, one of the most damaging Islamist organizations in this country. You know, the founder of it, Nihad Awad, the top man, was a member of a Soviet front before he founded CARE. He was a leader of the world, affiliated to the World Federation of Democratic Youth, the same people who held that big convention in Sochi, Russia, that Putin addressed, that I talked about recently. You know, Linda Sarsour is a member of Democratic Socialists of America. Rashida Tlaib is a member of Democratic Socialists of America. Ilhan Omar is very close to Democratic Socialists of America. You'll find most of the Islamist leaders in the United States have heavy Marxist connections. They are joined at the hip, and they hate this country, they hate Christianity, and they hate Israel, and that's why they're allied.
So really, the squad is the public embodiment of this united front. I mean, they're associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're associated with the Democrat Socialists of America.
Yeah, and Ayanna Pressley, the other one, is associated also with Liberation Road or Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the people that gave you Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter goes to Palestine to meet with the terrorists in Palestine. So the left, The extreme leftists are working with the Muslim radicals all the time, all of the time.
And I think a lot of Americans think that just can't possibly be happening here in this country, but it absolutely is. And all the way up to being advisors to the president of the United States under the Obama administration, under the Clinton administration, it's been incredible.
Yeah, and look, we got to understand too that for all the good President Trump's done, these people are still in the government in a lot of places. The Muslim Brotherhood and is still influencing the FBI. That's still involved in the State Department and the Justice Department. You know, we've got a lot more swamp draining to go before we can really call this country safe.
Completely agree, and really appreciate you coming on Patriot Radio today, Trevor. And if you could, if people want to buy your book, they want to follow your new movie that you have coming out, where can they go, and also how can they sign up for your blog?
Okay, well, my blog is trevorlouden.com, so Louden is Loudon. Go into my blog, the second to top post. You can pre-order my book. It's called White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks, Standing for the U.S. Presidency 2020. So White House Reds, go to trevorlouden.com. For my movie, Enemies Within the Church, just go to enemieswithinthechurch.com. enemieswithinthechurch.com. You can see a trailer there. You can donate. You can read about what we're doing, what our goals are. We want to actually start a movement, not just a movie. We want the movie to start a movement to really spark a true Christian revival in this country and expose the corruption and the Marxism and Islamism that is creeping in to even the evangelical churches today.
Trevor, I really appreciate everything that you're doing, and I would like to get you to do a final word to the millennial generation in America, which I think needs the most education right now.
Look, you know, this is what I say to the millennials. You've got a long time in this country, guys, and you face a choice in this next election. You face a choice between socialism, tyranny, and poverty. That's what you're facing, or getting out and getting active and standing up for the rights and liberties that you know you want to have. You know, if we win the next election, we have a chance of not only, you have a chance of not only inheriting the great country your parents inherited, but actually having a country that's even greater. This is the time to get involved in the fight for liberty. This is our American Revolution. This is our Civil War. This is our Pearl Harbor. This is the time where young people have to get involved because your future is completely at stake here.
Trevor Louden, author of White House Reds and the upcoming movie, filmmaker of The Enemies Within the Church, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you and keep up the fight.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Look forward to seeing you in Washington in a couple of months, and look forward to touring your great state.
Amen. TrevorLouden.com, and you can also take a look at his New Zeal blog, which is on TrevorLouden.com. A lot of great information. You can sign up for the newsletter. He sends it out very frequently and keeps you updated on what's actually happening in the United States of America. One of his other articles, and we didn't get to today, is in regards to the mainstream Communist Party being established in New Zealand. What is the mainstream Communist Party? What does that even mean? Is it kind of like mainstream Republicans maybe? I don't know what that even means. But, you know, you can read about this stuff. And he, as you heard, goes into great detail. He has the primary sources to back this up. When he says that Nihad Awad was tied directly to a socialist organization, he's got the documents to back it up. And you can find those documents on something called KeyWiki, K-E-Y-Wiki, W-I-K-I, where he has lists of these folks and who they're affiliated with. I've mentioned before Judith LeBlanc came to Spokane, Washington. She was a leader in the Communist Party USA. Peace Justice Action League of Spokane had her as a speaker at their annual conference. And you have local reporters in the Socialist Review quite literally supporting organizations that are bringing in leaders in the Communist Party USA. So you have direct connections. And he details this going back a long ways, literally 4 or 5 decades in some cases. And as he said, the Marxists that grew up, these are the folks marching during the 1960s, they grew up. They have one last chance to really see their Marxist revolution in our time. And that's what we're battling here in Washington State, is this culmination And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, a friend of mine, and just said, look, if you don't understand that we literally are in a war, political war, for the future of our country, if you don't understand that and understand that what they're doing right now in places like Washington, D.C. and Olympia is to run right over the top of the Republicans, which is Rich Higgins said in his memorandum to President Donald Trump, the establishment Republicans have become the designated defeat mechanism for these Marxists. The Marxists literally expect the Republicans to fold. They put it into their strategy to run right over the top of them. Look, last night we had almost everybody that would consider themselves a conservative speak for 10 minutes. And it didn't make any difference. They just moved it so that we voted late at night. That's all. They're going to do their agenda. And their agenda was the low-carbon fuel standard, which literally is a tax on rural Washington. It's not a tax on the cities. It's a tax on rural Washington. And it's going to be in addition to the gas tax. It's going to be in addition to the vehicle miles travel tax. And you have to ask yourself, are we really going to allow this to happen in our state? And people don't understand that evangelical Christians, traditional Catholics, Orthodox Christians, if you're not getting out to vote, you are allowing this stuff to happen. You're allowing it to happen. Politics is downstream from the culture, and the culture is downstream from religion. It's absolutely true. And this idea that politics is not a mission field, or it's the one part of our lives and society that we're not supposed to be preaching the gospel, making disciples, is absurd. In the Greek, when Christ commanded us to do those things, preach the gospel, make disciples, he said all. And in the Greek, it means all. The other interesting part about this, too, is the bills that are coming forward are becoming so bold that, you know, people are saying, Matt, are they just stupid? They are not stupid. They're working a plan. They're working an agenda. So, for example, you know, you have these distractions like making the moss piglet the state micro animal, you know, or other bills that people have grave concerns about, like hair discrimination. And yes, that is an actual bill. You can go look it up if you would like. House Bill 2602. You have essentially what is the equivalent of a red flag laws applying to ammunition, House Bill 2519. You've got all of these anti-gun bills, including the magazine ban, the so-called assault weapons ban, which is really a semi-automatic ban, which includes a lot more than just so-called assault weapons. Why now? Why would they try to disarm us now? Why would they try to infiltrate the churches now? Why would they try to change the policies in the churches now? Why would they try to infiltrate people into organizations like the Republican Party in Spokane County now? You have three, at least, that tried to become and became Republican precinct committee officers who were not even Republicans. Admittedly, they're not Republicans. And it was part of a plan in Spokane County. And I'm going to be breaking these stories, and we have the primary source documents to prove it. I'm going to be breaking these stories. And it's like the Republican establishment doesn't want to admit this, even though it's in black and white. And so you have to ask yourself, why vote for an establishment Republican if really what they're ending up doing is giving material support to some of these organizations and groups, or not doing anything, which is effectively doing the same thing? And this has been an ongoing battle inside the party for years, for literally decades, going back actually to World War II, when there was infiltration in the Republican Party following the Roosevelt administration, which, by the way, according to the book Target Patton by Robert Wilcox, and which outlines in great detail communist infiltration in the United States of America, 329 Soviet agents were in, confirmed Soviet agents were in the Roosevelt administration, according to him. And that's based on the Venona transcripts and the Matroikan archives and several other primary source documents that came out of the former Soviet Union. They confirmed this. And Stalin was just following Antonio Gramsci, who said there needs to be a long, slow march. In 1915, he said this, as a writer for the Italian Socialist newspaper, there needs to be a long, slow march through the institutions, and specifically named the schools, the universities, the media, and the churches. And that is exactly what they're doing. Clearly, it's the media. And now you're seeing it in the churches because they've already captured the schools and the universities. The churches was kind of their last. They're trying to culminate. So pay attention to this in the context of what's happening in Olympia. And understand that the reason that they want to try to come after people like me is because we're standing in the way. We were effectively standing in the way. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid any attention. So when the media says, oh, you know, not an effective legislator, well, then why are you spending so much time and effort on me, right? Why are you spending so much time and effort trying to smear people like Trevor Loudon or Donald Trump or Congressman Steve King? Why? I want to talk about a couple other issues, too, that have come up. And one of these is extremely alarming. House Bill 2829, declaring a climate emergency. It says, in recognition that a climate emergency exists, and at its root cause is the consumption of fossil fuel energy, the governor may declare an energy emergency and use the powers specified, and then it cites the RCW where those powers are specified, for purposes of limiting greenhouse gas emissions and building resiliency to the effects of climate change. Now, I want to stop there and highlight the fact that giving the governor the ability to declare a state of emergency invokes powers that are extremely concerning when it's outside the context of a natural disaster or war. And these powers include the restriction of travel, the restriction of commerce, the restriction of manufacturing, etc. And so we're seeing this happen. And look at, they're becoming wide open about this. And you can read about this in RCW 43.06.010 or 43.06.220. And then they also cite the energy emergency power in 43.21G. So take a look at these. This is real. They really believe, and I brought this up last year, that if they try to expand the emergency powers, those emergency powers would end up being abused. If they try to expand them beyond war and beyond natural disasters, that they would end up being abused. And here it is in black and white. Now, also on top of that, there's this push now for a vehicle miles traveled tax. House Bill 2854 and House Bill 2855 are our response to that. I've co-sponsored those. And their corresponding House Joint Resolutions, which are proposed constitutional amendments. So House Joint Resolution 4213, House Joint Resolution 4214, those would fight back against this vehicle miles travel tax and would actually ban the tracking of individuals for the purpose of collecting taxes, and also would limit the ability for them to try to double tax. In other words, do the vehicle miles travel tax on top of the gas tax. And this is what always seems to happen. Once a tax is in place, then it never seems to get repealed. So this idea that rural Washington can bear the brunt of this is ridiculous. And the idea that they can continue to add taxes upon taxes. And then, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, with the low carbon fuel standard on top of all of that, we're literally going to have some of the highest gas taxes in the nation on top of vehicle miles travel tax, on top of the cost of the low carbon fuel standard, maybe 30 cents a gallon. So if you can imagine this, quite literally, you start squeezing the pump handle, right? You start squeezing it at the pump and it just keeps ringing up, and then maybe a minute later the gas starts flowing. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. It's craziness. In addition to that, I want to talk about what's happening In regards to religious liberty. House Bill 1376 effectively would criminalize parents making healthcare decisions like not vaccinating their kids and consider it child abuse. That's the way it's written. House Bill 1376. And they try to say it's under the guise of, other things, but it really is not. That's what it says. It's what it means. In fact, there's an amendment by Representative Brad Klipper to try to fix that. Also, you have this huge push for comprehensive sex education, which essentially is teaching pornography to young kids. And you just take a look at the Flash curriculum. Take a look at what has been proposed and what is being proposed in the future. See if I'm wrong. If you're a parent with a kid in public school, I just strongly urge you to take a look at the private option, take a look at homeschooling, take a look at Freedom Project Education, solutions like that, because it is getting that bad. And again, this is part of an agenda, so they may take a little bit at a time, but they're always moving in the same direction. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up too is this idea that we are all guilty until proven innocent if you're a Christian conservative, apparently. And you're seeing this in bills like House Bill 2623, House Bill 2622, red flag laws, and these ideas that, you have to comply, and if you don't comply, then you must be guilty. And there's just no due process is now flipped on its head. And if you don't think that they are trying to label you to then use red flag laws against you, just take a look at sections 2 and 3 in this contract that was part of the Champart dossier against yours truly, where they literally wanted to assign people a threat and risk assessment and threat level. Third party citizens, people that aren't even members of the House of Representatives, which brings me to a great point now. So a couple of days ago, finally, after 2 months withholding it from me and my attorney, they finally released the exhibits from this Champart dossier. And what we found, interestingly enough, is that the exhibits are huge on media reports, like left-wing biased media reports make up a portion of this, a significant portion of these exhibits. How is the anyway? All right. Well, but understand what this is. This isn't about truth for them, because the truth has already come out. There have been two great articles, one in the New American Magazine, one in American Family Association and Renew America, and by Brian Fisher, actually. And then the New American was written by Bill Jasper. And you can look those articles up. They have conclusively rebutted point by point the allegations in the report. And so there's some people out there in the Republican Party who are falsely claiming that that has not happened, that these things haven't been addressed, they haven't been publicly addressed, that they haven't been publicly rebutted. Totally false, utter lie. These things have been done. And you can look them up in these articles. But my point in bringing that up is that, do you see the narrative? Okay, instead of innocent until proven guilty, it's always guilty until proven innocent, right? It's as if the burden of proof is on the person being slandered to have to prove that that's not true. Wait a minute. No, the burden of proof is on you. And if you're using left-wing biased media sources as your proof, you've just condemned and judged yourself by your own words. So that's where we're at in America. And we have to understand this is a political war for the future of our country. Quite literally. And they want to have one party control, the Marxists, into perpetuity. And some of them have even said that publicly, that they want one party control. And, that effectively is what happened under the former Soviet Union. I mean, really. So again, on the good side, check out House Bill 2854, House Bill 2855. Those are fighting back on the vehicle miles traveled tax. I want to talk about a couple other great bills. House Bill 2627, which would prevent people from wearing masks while committing a crime, like what, Antifa maybe, for example. That's a great start. There's a bill on vaccine freedom, House Bill 2626. Take a look at that. A bill on regulatory fairness, House Bill 2330. So, and my seatmate and great friend Bob McCaslin, House Bill 2285 on road maintenance priorities. In other words, we actually should build it into the budget that we need to maintain our roads instead of talking about it afterwards. I mean, can you imagine? Come on. You know, it's important that, yes, some of this stuff seems a little bit overwhelming, but it is important that we stand together, that we understand that this is a political war that is happening, and that if you are buying into the narrative of Satan, if you are buying into the narrative of evil, that you are actually helping evil, if you are buying into that narrative. And a friend of mine, Tim Taylor, who runs One Church One Day and Operation Rolling Thunder in the past, talks about this idea, and it's becoming a spiritual accomplice to sin. Don't become a spiritual accomplice to sin. Make sure that your friends and family, your neighbors, understand what's happening. That it is their duty now to go find the facts. It is their duty to stand up. And it's their duty also to discern the fruits that are coming forward with some of this stuff. And as Trevor Loudon said, once you start seeing the fruits of this, like from Tim Keller, you know that that is not the Judeo-Christian values that we hold dear. Well, that's it for today on Patriot Radio. Thank you, everybody, for listening. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation truly the greatest one.